Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2519 with a release date of Friday, February 6th, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The Bove Island De-Expedition Team announces a delay. Four hams are among those who will track the flight of Artemis II, and a Groundhog Day special event station covers some ground. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2519 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story is the Bove Island. The de-expedition to the most remote uninhabited island on our planet is facing a delay. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, picks up the story from here.
If you're keeping your ears tuned for the start of the 3Y0KD expedition to Bove Island, the thing you're going to need more than good propagation, sufficient power, a good antenna, and of course, good timing is patience. The team's plans have been delayed by about 2 weeks, according to their website. Their sailing vessel is undergoing additional maintenance to secure it for the journey to the remote island. The team writes, and I quote, "While this delay is disappointing, the safety of our team remains our highest priority," end quote. According to the team, nothing else about the team's game plan has changed, and after 3 years of planning, they are looking forward to being QRV before too long. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The Artemis II crewed test flight, which was to have lifted off sometime early this month, has been delayed by NASA after the discovery of several issues, including hydrogen leaks in the space launch system tanks. Meanwhile, as the agency conducts a review and reschedules a launch for March, the space agency has announced that its newly chosen group of volunteers to track the Artemis II includes four amateur radio operators. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, tells us who they are.
34 volunteers from around the world have been chosen by the U.S. Space Agency to track the Orion spacecraft and its crew of four astronauts during the scheduled Artemis II test flight. NASA has said that this mission, which includes a trip around the moon, plays a vital role in setting the stage for a return to exploration of the lunar surface. The mission is also viewed as paving the way for the first crewed Mars mission. Four amateur radio operators are among the 34 observers chosen by NASA in a group that also includes universities, government agencies, and private companies. The Canadian Space Agency and the German Aerospace Center are among those chosen. Von Storch Engineering in the Netherlands and Intuitive Machines in Houston, Texas are among the commercial entities selected. Academic institutions include the University of Zurich's Physics Department in Switzerland and the University of New Brunswick in Canada. The four hams are Chris Swear, K1FSD of South Dakota, Dan Slater, AG6HF, and Loretta Smalls, AJ6HO, both of California, and Scott Tilley, VE7TIL of British Columbia, Canada. The hams will be using their radio equipment to track transmissions from the Orion over the course of its 10 days in space. This is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Fans of the Ham Clock Shack accessory are still shaken by the death of its developer, and now they are working hard to preserve his legacy, as we hear from Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
With last month's tragic death of Ham Clock developer Elwood Downey, WB0OEW, the clock is ticking, quite literally, on a way to salvage this popular shack accessory so it remains useful beyond its scheduled sunset in June. Brian Wilkins, KO4AQF, the developer of an open-source alternative, has posted his in-work progress on the GitHub website in hopes of providing real-time ham clock data feeds from publicly available locations, such as PSK Reporter and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The final iteration of ham clock is version 4.22, with no further maintenance possible on its internet backend. News, propagation updates, DX, and other data will no longer be delivered to the device after it sunsets. Brian was not involved in the creation of the original ham clock, but said this replacement project, a free open-source Linux-based system, is an outgrowth of, quote, my own motivation and passion, end quote. He told Newsline in an email that, quote, the goal is preservation, not reinvention, keeping ham clock working exactly as intended for years to come, end quote. To see the work that is underway, follow the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Hams in Brazil are marking the anniversary of the national organization that represents them with a slow scan TV event and a separate month-long activation of special anniversary call signs. We have those details from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
When the Liga de Amadores Brasileiros de Radio Emissão, LABRE, the League of Brazilian Amateur Radio Transmitters, was created in 1934 to represent its national radio amateurs, it would be almost three decades before anyone would have the use of amateur radio satellites. Now, however, hams in Brazil have a choice of many such satellites, and to celebrate the 92nd anniversary of the league's founding, they've chosen the Russian CubeSat UMKA-1, or RS-40S, to transmit SSTV imagery between the 6th and the 9th of February. The transmissions are on 437.625 MHz, and the SSTV mode is Robot 36, sent every 3 minutes. Any operator who receives the imagery will be eligible for a special certificate. Hams with a more terrestrial interest are being invited to chase 28 special anniversary call signs that are on the air from the 1st of February to the 1st of March. The call signs represent each region of Brazil and, according to a Facebook post, present, quote, a unique opportunity for fellowship, cultural and technical exchange and friendship, values that have always been at the heart of LABRE, end quote. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
With the QSO they made via the Oscar III satellite in March of 1965, a ham in Switzerland and a ham in Germany changed the shape of satellite QSOs to come. It was a first for amateur radio, and one that AMSAT HB in Switzerland is again honoring with the HB9RG trophy. John Williams, VK4JJW, has those details.
There was not yet a global satellite community when Hans Rudolf Lauber, HB9RG, and Alphonse Haring, DL6EZA, made their pioneering satellite QSO in 1965. That moment gave rise to a new era for ham radio, and in the years that followed, as more satellites populated the skies, the international community developed a zest for working the birds. AMSAT HB's trophy, which bears Hans Rudolf Lauber's call sign, is an honor conferred for achieving DX via ham radio satellites between the 2nd and the 15th of March. The competition is timed to coincide with the original two-day contact made on March the 10th, 1965. Only QSOs via low, medium and highly elliptical Earth orbit satellites will be permitted, and on the final day, hams will be permitted to use a geostationary satellite for a single contact with HB9RG, the bonus station. For details and rules, follow the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Like the ARRL's annual field day, Winter Field Day provides an opportunity for portable operation only in winter environments during the last weekend of January. For amateur radio operators in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, however, simulation changed to activation while participating in this year's event. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us more.
Eddie Mishevitz, KB3YRU, was with a group of fellow hams for Winter Field Day on Sunday, January 25th, when he was notified by the warning coordination meteorologist for the Pittsburgh Weather Forecast Office to activate Skywarn for winter storm reports. Eddie, who was a Skywarn coordinator and volunteer, told Newsline that stations from 35 counties across the region got on the air, averaging 150 snowfall and condition reports from each of the counties. Amateur participation came from Central Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, as well as the northern and northern panhandle of West Virginia. Of course, this is why drills like Winter Field Day exist. The activation went QRT on Monday evening, January 26th, after 15 continuous hours of being on the air. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Caribbean Amateur Radio News Network on 7.139 MHz at 1000 UTC Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday at 1600 UTC. Registration has opened for the annual HamSci workshop, which this year will be held in Connecticut and hosted by the ARRL on the campus of Central Connecticut State University. The dates are March 14th and 15th. The workshop theme is Discovering Science Through Ham Radio and will showcase how HamSci's cooperative relationships between researchers, ham radio operators, citizen scientists, and students have brought about notable advances in weather studies, propagation sensing, and ionospheric research. Visitors will have an opportunity to visit the Newington, Connecticut headquarters of the ARRL, where licensed hams will be able to get on the air from the Hiram P. Maxim Memorial Station, W1AW. Although the two-day event is designed for in-person attendance at the New Britain, Connecticut University campus, plans are in the works to provide opportunities for virtual attendance. Details will be announced close to the date of the workshop. Find registration information at the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. One of the many amateur radio events happening around the time of International Women's Day in March will be near New York State's scenic Erie Canal. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us what's being planned.
It's a YL POTA party, and this one on Saturday, March 7th, isn't just for licensed amateurs, but those who are interested in experiencing the beauty of Pineway Ponds Park in Spencerport, New York. The site along the Erie Canal is designated US 6532 within the POTA system. YLs will be spending the day at the cabin known as Owens Lodge within the park. The organizers, Angela N3ARB and Matt K2EAG, have invited YLs of all ages to participate and either bring their own radios or share others' rigs. The start time is 9 a.m., and everyone will be permitted to stay until the park's 9 p.m. closing time. This is an independent event and not sponsored by the Parks on the Air organization. International Women's Day is observed this year on Sunday, March 8th. The YL POTA party is timed to coincide with International Women's Day, which provides an opportunity for YLs to celebrate women in amateur radio. If you are interested, send an email to Angela, N3ARB, and Matt, K2EAG, at brown@brownbuffalo.com. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
The Young Ladies Radio League is looking to award scholarships to promising YLs who want to advance their education. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has the details.
For the next 2 months, the Young Ladies Radio League will be reviewing scholarship applications from qualified YLs who are pursuing advanced degrees, preferably in subjects relevant to communication or radio. The application period opened on the 1st of February and closes on the 1st of April. YLs holding valid amateur radio licenses anywhere in the world are eligible for any of three scholarships. Preference is being given to YLs who are members of the YLRL. The Ethel Smith K4LMB Memorial Scholarship and the Mary Lou Brown NM7N Memorial Scholarship both provide $2,500 each toward a student's full-time pursuit of a bachelor's or graduate degree at any accredited university. Students who are enrolled in part-time studies can apply for the Martha Wessel K0EPE Memorial Scholarship. Those students must be involved in full-time work or have roles as family caregivers or stay-at-home parents. For details or an application form, visit the YLRL website at ylrl.net and search for scholarships. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In the world of DX, Heli DD0VR is on the air as D4VR from Cape Verde throughout February. He will operate QRP with high-efficient antennas from Boa Vista, IOTA number AF086, on the 6th through the 11th of February, and again on the 19th through to the 21st. Listen for him operating from Sao Tiago, IOTA number AF005, on the 11th through the 18th of February. Michael, OE6MBG, is using the call sign 3B8-OE6MBG from Mauritius, IOTA number AF049, until the 23rd of February. Listen for him on 80 and 40 meters, where he is using CW, SSB, and some FT8, FT4. A team of operators using the call sign 8R1WA will be active from Guyana from the 19th through to the 27th of February. The team includes Alex, IZ0EGA, Paolo, IZ0EVI, Diego, IZ0EWJ, and Luca, IZ6DSQ. They will operate SSB and FT8 on 160 through 6 meters. Phil, FK1TS, is on the air as C21TS from Nauru, IOTA number OC031, until sometime in July. He is operating mainly FT8, but may try some SSB. See the station's pages on QRZ.com for QSL information and other operating details. Just like amateur radio operators, Punxsutawney Phil, the famous American weather-predicting groundhog, needs the sun's cooperation to do his job every February. This year, as every year since the 1960s, hams in Pennsylvania were with him every step of the way. Jim Davis, W2JKD, ends our newscast with this tribute to the weathercasting rodent.
A shadow was cast over the scene on February 2nd as Punxsutawney Phil newly emerged from his burrow, looked down with sleepy eyes, and saw the dark outline of his likeness. By tradition, that signals 6 more weeks of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere. The Punxsutawney Area Amateur Radio Club, K3HWJ, who get on the air each year for a special event to mark this winter ritual, did what Phil could not. They were able to stay warm and comfy in their burrows. Judy Smith, KC3JAS, who operated from home on Monday, Groundhog Day, told Newsline that her husband reported temperatures, including wind chill, of minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. That's minus 23 centigrade. On the final day of the 3-day activation, he told the seasoned POTA operator that she needed to stay indoors. She told Newsline, and I quote, "I was disappointed, to say the least," unquote. Phil's wintry prediction also disappointed many observers, including hams who were either snowbound or tired of the freezing cold. Phil was not winning a popularity contest anywhere. The event itself did not disappoint anyone, however. Judy said that she and the other 3 operators, Bill Latta, KA3MKY, Dale Wood, KC3NFD, and Mike Brennan, KC2EGI, found the bands amazing for some of the time. The club logged a total of 556 contacts, most of them on single sideband. For the Groundhog, this was nothing to lose sleep over. With the event over, Phil reportedly went right back into hibernation. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Is 2026 the year your ham radio haiku will be chosen to appear on the Newsline website? It can't happen unless you write one and send it in to us. Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite on-the-air activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work, and then sit back and wait to hear whether your inspired haiku will be highlighted on our website where everyone can read it. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, Angela, N3ARB, David Behar, K7DB, 425DX Bulletin, HamSci, Judy Smith, KC3JAS, Matt, K2EAG, NASA, Northern Arizona DX Association, QRZ.com Forums, shortwaveradio.de, space.com, 3Y0K website, Wireless Institute of Australia, Young Ladies Radio League, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. We wish all our listeners the very best for the year ahead in 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.